it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Guest is a hell of a basketball coach, great guy, Kelly Graves, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. He's cut down some nets in his day. He's a big LeBron fan. I want to bring him on. You have been there. You have been there when you guys have won championships and celebrated. What is that feeling like as a coach when the confetti's falling and your team's celebrating?
Nothing better, John. Nothing better. And I think as a coach, you get really happy when you see your team doing it, you know, the players up there on the platform cutting their little piece of net because, you know, it was a dream of theirs and it brings so much joy. It's one of the reasons we do what we do, to be honest with you. You never do it enough. You never do it enough.
I was talking about off the top of the show that I don't think that I get that athletes, they work so hard. You get somewhere, it's hard enough just to get there, right? Hard enough just to become a Division I basketball player in the Pac-12. And then you have success. I don't blame you for celebrating. I don't blame that moment where they're doing snow angels on the confetti in Vegas celebrating a Pac-12 championship. I look around and I go, we should be doing that more in our own lives.
Don't you think? I mean, we always talk in terms of winners and losers. You know, people lose far more than they win in life. You know, it's not a 50-50. And so I think when you do win, and whatever it may be, you should celebrate. I mean, and with this pandemic, you know, one of the things that we've talked about as a team, and I'm really trying to be in tune to the whole mental health of my team, of all of our student athletes here, is I don't want to walk around depressed and looking at the bad side. I'm certainly not going to go as far as our president and say, don't worry about it. I mean, it's obviously something that we need to, you know, to think about and be diligent and do all those kind of things. But, man, I want us to, and we've tried to do things in practice and before practice and off the court, things that we're still allowed to do, to bring some joy and happiness into the lives of these young kids, because it's been a really hard year. You and I are old enough to compartmentalize, and we can kind of figure it out, and it's still tough for us. But this, especially this freshman class, think of what they've had taken away from them just in the last, you know, 9 months or so, 8 months. It's been crazy. So, yes, we should all celebrate, man. Celebrate our victories.
Let's talk LeBron. You're a big LeBron fan. Had to feel good to see him win it. He's got AD with him. He calls his mom after the game. How can you not love that?
Yeah. You know, honestly, I don't get where the hatred for LeBron comes from. I mean, I think he's an exemplary student, or not student athlete. I got to turn the page to pro athlete. He's an exemplary athlete. You know, on and off the court, what he gives back to society and the example he sets as a good dad and a humanitarian and, you know, is really impressive. And then to see what he does on the court, and you and I have argued this before, I think he's the best player, in the game's history. And I know Jordan folks are out there, and I get it. I know every single argument. I've heard them all. To me, and it's just to me, right? And I can back it up with things. I think he's the greatest. So I was really happy to see him win this and especially under these circumstances, I really think it shows the true champion that he is.
There, you know, some people don't like that, you know, he had the cigar and he had the ski goggles on and, you know, he's jumping around, 36-year-old man. But they wanted more humility out of him, but I just think that's a personality trait. Like, I wouldn't expect Sabrina Ionescu to be doing that after winning, you know, had you guys gone to the Final Four and you would have won the damn thing, by the way. But there are people celebrate differently. How do you account for that as a coach when you look down your roster and, you know, last year's team, for example?
Well, you just led off with this. Celebrate. Well, why not? Of all the years to do it, this is the one. It was so strange, the whole bubble. They might be celebrating the fact that now they can leave the bubble. They can actually leave a somewhat normal existence over the next few months. I'm okay with that, and it's a kind of a tradition. I don't drink or smoke, so, you know, I don't think I would do either in the locker room after a win, but, you know, I think it's a kind of a sports tradition. The one I kind of think is odd is every round in baseball they celebrate like that. You know, I can see after the World Series, yes, but isn't that a tradition in baseball? They do it after every round.
Yeah, but it's like you guys in, you know, you win the conference championship, you celebrate a little in Vegas, and you go to the regional, you win Portland, you get to cut down a net again. You know, there's some of that that goes on. Yeah, I think you should celebrate. You get a good report card, celebrate.
Well, yeah, especially you and me and the report cards. I remember bringing home a report card one time, the best I ever had, and my dad looks at it, and he goes, because I got a C in one class, he goes, "What do I see here, son?" And I go, "Well, Dad, I hope you see the five A's." I know he was focused on the C. Oh, yeah, well.
How are you doing with your young players? You got a bunch of star freshmen, newcomers in the program. How do they look right now? How do you feel about the season?
Well, it's going to be a roller coaster, right? 2 days ago, if you'd asked me this, I said, man, I am pumped. We are so good. After our first couple of days of going live and then after yesterday's practice when I'm watching the film this morning, we may not win a game. So it's just going to be like that, a little up and down. But love the effort, love the energy, love the skill that we have. And I don't know if I've ever had a team more excited to get out and play five-on-five. We're finally allowed to, because now we're doing the daily testing. We're still wearing masks throughout the entire practice, and I think we'll relax that at some point. But they were just jacked to get to be able to go five-on-five against each other full court, actually play some defense instead of – we were doing great against the garbage cans and the chairs. I mean, we stopped them every time. We scored them on them every time. But now it's live, so it's all different.
So hold up. So you're testing every day, but you're still required to wear masks?
We're just going to play it safe, you know, for the first week or so, and then we'll start to relax it. We are going to try and social distance and wear masks as often as we can during practice. Coaching staff and managers and everybody, all the time. But the players, I think when we do some five-on-five live stuff, we'll relax that for a little bit. Yeah. But still, when we're doing like shooting breakdown and skill development sessions, we're gonna mask up still. You know, just gonna be as safe as we can. We don't want any excuses.
Give us an idea of the rapid result testing. Like, how long does it take to get the whole team and support staff? Is it painful? What are you spitting? Are they swabbing? What are you doing?
Yeah, they're doing a nose swab. I had mine yesterday, and it tickles. It's a different sensation, but it's certainly, you know, not as intrusive. So I don't know what I'm supposed to be able to tell. I'm assuming I can talk about this. Yeah. But it's not as intrusive as some of those early tests where they're sticking that, you know, that thing up your brain, into your brain through your nose. So, but it still tingles. But I think it takes 15, 20 minutes. Our staff has done great, man. I think here at the University of Oregon, our staff has just been on top of it, our medical staff and our trainers. It's been pretty easy so far in terms of just the process.
Kelly Graves is with us, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. Non-conference games, conference games. Is the non-conference schedule totally wiped out? Everything that was on the books? Will you get to replace any of those games? I was looking forward to maybe seeing, you know, South Carolina play Oregon or UConn play Oregon. Is there any chance to do some matchmaking, or is that going to have to wait for a potential NCAA tournament?
That's going to have to wait. You know, we're going to have only three non-league games. And right now, two of those are local, so you can kind of guess who they would be against. And it was still, we haven't gotten the final contracts done, the final dates. There's still some, you know, some things that we have to work through, make sure all the testing is going to be secure at all those sites. Yeah, with our schedule, I mean, you know, we're opening Pac-12 play, I think, somewhere around the weekend of December 11th. So, you know, our fourth game of the year, so after only three non-league games, heck, we could open at Stanford, you know, or UCLA, or, you know, Arizona, these top 10 programs with three games under our belt and nine new players and seven freshmen. So might be a little baptism by fire. We're going to jump right into it. But I'm a proponent, always have been, of 22-game conference schedule. I think even in a non-pandemic year, I like playing everybody twice, a true round robin, double.
We got so, a true champion there.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
You played basketball.
It's hard to get people to come to Eugene, big guy. South Carolina, we have tabled that. UConn is coming next year. We will be playing South Carolina. I'm just not sure where. I'd hate to have both South Carolina and UConn at home same year. It'd be nice to kind of mix switch those up. So we'll see.
Come play South Carolina in Portland. You know,
Well, talk to Edsel and let's get them to get on board and let's work that out. I would love to do that.
Now, I saw a clip of you in a college basketball uniform, lighting it up. University of New Mexico, great. Played guard there.
Whoa!
Double
great?
Figures.
Okay.
You averaged in double figures your last year there, and. I want to know, as a college player, were you looking around going, I want to stay around this game. I want to coach. I want to coach women's basketball. I want to coach men's basketball. What were you thinking at that point in your life if I had tapped you on the shoulders as a college senior?
Well, I certainly was smart enough to know I wasn't going to the NBA. So I had taken the LSAT. I actually thought I wanted to be a lawyer. But I didn't do so well on said LSAT, so I went to the next route, became a GA right there, stayed, started working on my master's degree at New Mexico, and then I kind of realized, hey, this is pretty fun. I'd like to stay into coaching, so that's where it started. The women's part was kind of a fluke, and that's maybe a story for another time, but I love the game. I truly do. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than working with young kids, and I was blessed to have some great coaches. And so, you know, and for a lot of your audience who are out there coaching, you know, youth teams or maybe high school teams, junior high teams, you know, just be as positive as you can and really teach the game, teach the kids how to love the game. You know, there's no need to just get on kid at that age. And I was blessed to play for really great coaches, cerebral. They, you know, they had a love of the game and they showed respect to their players and things like that. And I think that's why I got into it. And I'd like to think that the reason a lot of my players go into coaching is because they enjoyed the experience that they had and, you know, and want to continue to pass that along. So, yeah. What was your question?
You shot the three really well. You did.
Yep.
you also were a good passer. You were a good shooter and you're a good passer. I watch your teams play, and I wonder, you know, what your experience as a player, how that influenced sort of the style that you like to play. Would you have liked to play for Kelly Graves? Because I think you, in your game as a college player, would have suited the type of game that you want to run. I think anybody who plays offense and can shoot it would want to play for Kelly Graves.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, the one thing I do regret, and you're right, I thought I was as good a post-entry passer as there was. I had a great assist-to-turnover ratio. You're going to think this is so corny, but I was a really good inbounds passer under the basket. And then, yeah, my senior year at New Mexico was the first year of the NCAA three-pointer. So we were all still trying to figure it out at that point. But, yeah, I could shoot the ball. The one thing I wish I would have done, John, I didn't take chances. You know, I just never kind of tried to expand my game. I was so worried about making a mistake. And so I try to allow my players the opportunity. If you watch me coach, I don't micromanage every possession, and I allow them to play through mistakes. And I think that I learned that as a player because I never really made mistakes as a player, and I wish I would have. It would have made me grow. But I love a skilled game, you know, and so that's how we coach it down here.
It's interesting because you hit on something I think that a lot of athletes relate to in that, you know, you earn minutes, you know, as a player in practice, and then you make mistakes, you get yanked out of a game. So you do have, like, I think that's a pervasive thing, especially for young players. They are afraid to take a chance and make a mistake. How do you overcome that as a player?
Well, I think it starts with the coaching. I think number one, you've got to allow your players to make mistakes. They're not always looking over their shoulder, because once they start looking over their shoulder and know that they're going to get yanked out if they make a mistake, then number one, they either don't take chances or they actually make more mistakes because they're afraid of making one. So one of the compliments I get a lot is your team plays with so much confidence. And I think part of that is coming from how we try to coach, and we try to instill confidence in our players, because they know, gosh, they make one mistake, they're not getting pulled out and chewed out. And I think that's really important. But as a player, you just got to, you know, you got to have confidence in yourself, you know, to know that if a coach does get on you, it's not personal. They're trying to make you, hopefully, they're trying to just make you a better player. So don't ever lose that confidence just because you make some mistakes. Learn from them, try not to do them again. And one of the things I tell my team is, listen to when we're either criticizing or teaching, you know, another player, listen to what we're saying, because that could be you next possession. And if you do make the same mistake, we might come a little louder at your mistake because we had just explained it to someone else. So learn from others.
It's like parenting, isn't it? Like, you know, you tell something to one kid and you go, what did I just say to your sister? You know, what did I just say to your brother? It's the same thing.
I know, but when do we finally figure that out? I'm 57 and I still haven't figured that part out, buddy.
There you go.
The parenting thing.
Amen to that. All right, Kelly Graves, I appreciate you. Congrats on LeBron winning. Good luck with the kids on the court this season. We'll talk to you down the road.
John, thank you, buddy. Take care.
There he is, Kelly Graves, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. Our big splash is coming up. Jenna Newby, downtown, along with Alabama Adriana. I am, of course, doing this radio show from the home studio. Judah, are you still doing the Saturday gambling show, or what do you guys call that show?
Nice, yeah, it's called Bet the Game, Saturdays, 11 a.m. to noon. We had to give way to Florida, Texas A&M this weekend, but we will be back at it with a vengeance coming up this weekend.
All right, I got a fun story. Ooh. From the weekend involving the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app that a listener has shared with me. Somebody tweeted at me just a bit ago, just about 10 minutes ago. So those of you listening to the show, you may hear an advertisement for the Oregon Lottery scoreboard, and included in there is a promo code that you can use. If you're going to make a deposit, you can get a bonus bet by using the promo code Canzano. So I guess a listener of this show used the promo code Canzano to get the $10 free bet. He bet, this is the bet, Judah, that a quarterback, offensive lineman, or defensive player would catch a touchdown pass.
Oh.
Okay.
In any game?
Any of the 11 games. He got plus 10,000 on the bet, which means that $10 bet netted him $1,000.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.